Earlier in the show, you and I were discussing the fact that we are now in the throes of March Madness, and people like to fill out their brackets, and people like to predict what will happen in the NCAA tournament.
Northwestern takes on Vanderbilt today about 3:30-ish.
Yeah, right in there. But then, I said this to Mark Harmon, I said, Mark, in the history of people filling out brackets, so that's hundreds of thousands or probably millions of people who have filled out brackets, tell everybody how many times they've gotten it all correct, and that answer is zero. Nobody has ever, ever, ever done this 100% correct.
But then, if you recall, a listener called in and said, I heard about this DePaul math professor whose name is Jeff Bergen, and he said there's a less than 1 in 9.2 quintillion chance to get it perfect. So we have that DePaul math professor on the line with us right now, Jeff Bergen, because I want to know what the heck a quintillion is.
Well, thank you for having me. Yes, I'm the Debbie Downer who says there's only a 1 in 9 quintillion chance. But on the bright side, that shouldn't prevent you from having lots and lots of fun, and maybe you can still win your bracket even if you're not perfect. But let me tell you what a quintillion is.
Can I guess? Quintillion means, if my number sequencing is correct, and I know, Jeff, you'll tell me if I'm wrong, it goes millions, then billions, then trillions, then quadrillions, then quintillions. Is that correct?
Right. If you're up to 18 zeros, you're up to a quintillion. Now this is actually, when people started asking me about the bracket, a name that I didn't know. Actually, my wife let me in on the name because she showed me a book that she was using when she was running a math club for middle school students. And so that's where I actually learned about the word quintillion.
So you're both in the math field.
Right. So she's a retired teacher, and I'm still a teacher.
So who balances the checkbook? Do you fight over that?
She lets me do that because that's about the only thing I do around the house. She does all the hard stuff.
That's fair. That's fair. All right, so let's figure out how we've come to that number, 1 in 9.2 quintillion. It's because of all, obviously, it's because of all the different possibilities of who could beat who throughout the steps of the tournament, right?
Right. So when we say 1 in 9 quintillion, that's not the odds if you know something about basketball. For that, you have lots of people that have different guesses. But if you're guessing what's going to happen in each game, there are 63 games to predict. So 63 times in a row, there's a 1 out of 2 chance that you're going to be right. But again, that's the same thing as saying, well, what happens if I flip a coin 63 times in a row? What's the chances of getting ahead? Well,
50-50.
Well, it's 50-50, but then you have to take 50-50, or one half, and multiply 63 copies of it. So, so where the ninth quintillion number comes from is, you take 2, if you had to guess 2 games, it would be 2 times 2. If you had to guess 3 games, it would be 2 times 2 times 2. If you have to guess 63 games, it's 2 times 2 times 2, 63 times. Well, you can just say 2 to the 63rd. That's not a big deal. But then when you plug 2 to the 63rd into your calculator, you get a 9 followed by 18 zeros.
Jeez. I don't have a calculator that big.
Oh, sure you do. You just have to be able to read the scientific notation.
I can't.
That means no. That's a polite way that Jeff just threw the word no at us.
I have no real sense of how big a quintillion is, which is why, again, with my handy little pocket calculator, I sort of come up with lots and lots of ways of coming up with things that are equally difficult or even easier. So if I can give you some examples.
Yeah, we'd love those.
Okay. To just get through the first round, so that's the Thursday and Friday, and that's when everybody's taking off work and watching the games on their computer and so on and so on. To get those 32 games by guessing, your chances are about 1 in 4 billion. That's about 15 times harder than winning the lottery with one ticket.
Yeah.
Now, if you get through the first 32 games, you have 31 games to go. To get the next 31 games by guessing, your chances are about 1 in 2 billion. That's about 8 times harder than winning the lottery with just one ticket. So in order to guess a perfect bracket, what you have to do is harder, or actually 100 times harder, than winning the lottery 2 times in a row, buying one ticket each time.
This is next to impossible.
It is impossible, isn't it? Will anyone ever do it, do you think?
By guessing, I don't think it'll ever happen. I mean, you know, for a couple of other ways to try to imagine how big 9 quintillion is, if everybody on the planet, all 7 billion of us, started filling out brackets. And we filled them out at about one bracket per minute.
Yeah.
So that's predicting about one game per second. If we all kept doing this, it would take us over 2,500 years to fill out 9 quintillion brackets.
Wow.
And then if you took all those brackets and piled them on top of each other, I mean, not end to end, but piling them on top of each other,
yeah,
they would stretch from here to the sun and back more than 3,000 times.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Yeah, so this is really a number which is beyond comprehension. And even though you're pretending to be intimidated by these numbers,
yeah,
let's keep in mind that although the numbers are big, these are really pretty straightforward calculations that can be taught in any high school in the country. And to get the answers, you just do some fairly simple math and let the calculator do the hard stuff. But the ideas are simple. It's just the numbers are so large that that's what's intimidating. But that should not stand in the way of really enjoying the games and
right,
watching them with your family and friends and work colleagues and so on.
All right. You're a DePaul math professor. His name is Jeff Bergen. And I know you're busy this week. How many interviews have you done today already?
You are the first.
Oh my gosh.
Out of 9.2 quintillion, we are the first.
You are indeed the first. See, don't you feel like you've won the lottery?
Yes. Kind of,
yeah, we do.
Our chances of getting you on as a guest to be the first guest is better than picking even two of the brackets.
Yeah.
I don't know what I've just done with that formula.
Well, you did the really difficult thing. You asked. And I think that's what it takes.
So when the numbers are that outrageous, Jeff, the fact that somebody may have some knowledge in terms of picking, if you're a good handicapper of sports, when the numbers are that outrageous, it really doesn't figure in at all, does it? They don't stand much of a better chance, do they?
Well, it depends how you look at it. I would put the chances, if you have knowledge of basketball, sort of a historic knowledge of how 1 versus 16 and 2 versus 15, how they do historically, I put your chances at 1 in 128 billion.
Hmm.
Now, 1 in 128 billion is one heck of a lot easier than 1 in 9 quintillion, but it's still many, many, many times harder than winning the lottery. So if there's a tournament with relatively few upsets, there's an outside shot that someone might eventually get it.
Right, right.
Not in our lifetime,
though.
Nah,
probably not.
Well, you know, if I had to guess, I would guess that in our lifetime, no one's going to get a perfect bracket. But again, I don't want to be that academic Debbie Downer guy. I want to
sure,
encourage people to have fun with it.
Sure.
You have just encouraged me to go play the Powerball because my chances of winning that are way better.
You know, if that gives you a bit of a buzz for a few minutes, it's worth the money that you spend.
Jeff, since you know numbers so well and since you mentioned the lottery, I want to run this past you. I want you to prove me right on something. I've talked to people. Let's say, this is hypothetical, but let's say your odds of winning the lottery are 1 in 10 million. I know that's not the exact number, but let's say that they are. I know guys who will buy a ticket, and then they'll say, you know what, I'm going to buy a second ticket because that will double my chances. But it doesn't double your chances. It gives you a 2 in 10 million chance. It doesn't double your chances, does it?
It does.
Well, yeah, it gives you two chances instead of one.
I mean, if everything you've said is right except the conclusion. So if it was 1 in 10 million and then you bought two tickets, it would be 2 in 10. Assuming you're buying a different set of numbers the second time, which I'm sure you certainly are. But, I mean, 2 in 10 million is indeed twice 1 in 10 million. So it really, it does double your odds.
But
it doesn't make you, it doesn't give you a 1 in 5 million chance, then does it? It gives you a 2. It's different being 2 in 10 million and 1 in 5 million. You follow me on that, right?
Well, I follow you, except I hate to tell the co-host that.
No, that's all right.
No, if I'm wrong,
tell me
I'm
wrong.
He thinks he's a mathematician.
But 1 in 5 million is the same as 2 in 10 million.
Listen, can I just tell you, you have been a math professor at DePaul for, what, 30-some years, almost 40 years?
36 years.
Years.
I'm just getting started. I want to do it till I get it right.
Okay. Well, Bill is doubting you 100%
no,
right now.
No, if you tell me that, I'll believe you. But I don't think it doubles your chances. I think it gives you two chances out of 10 million, which is different from 1 in 5 million.
Bill, are you saying that you're entitled to your own facts and your alternative
yes,
views?
That's yes,
what you're telling me.
I just am confused because you said, okay, everybody says I have a 1 in 10 million chance, but now I have a 2 in 10 million chance. That is double your chances.
I don't know how to illustrate it the point better. No, but but you know your math. So if you tell me that,
okay,
I will.
Well,
I,
so, how about if I do it? If I do it this way?
Yeah.
If 10 million people, if you bought, suppose that there are 10 million different possibilities.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you bought 10 million different tickets. What are your chances of winning?
100%.
Right, 10 million out of 10 million.
How are you not sure of that?
Wouldn't you have to...
Oh, my God.
All right, let's go with, again, the theory that it's 1 in 10 million. Wouldn't you have to buy 5 million tickets to cut that in half?
No.
You wouldn't?
If you buy 5 million tickets, you've cut the odds to being one half.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Odds are different than your chance of winning,
okay,
though, isn't
in
it?
In other words, your first question is, if you go from one ticket...
Right.
Two tickets, have you doubled your chances?
Right.
And the answer is yes.
Well, all right.
Then you can ask the question, how many tickets do I have to buy until I have a 50% chance of winning?
Okay, that's what I meant.
So, in essence, you're both right.
I guess so. Yeah. Thank you, Kim, for being very diplomatic.
No, I think...
I'm wording it wrong.
Professor Jeff Bergen is right.
Well, that's why it's good to have a woman there, because then she can actually tell you what you meant to say.
If you knew
Kim
how bad I am with numbers, you would be cracking up that I even said that.
But to make your chances from 1 in 10 million to 1 in 5 million, you would literally have to buy half that amount of tickets to make it 1 in 5. You'd have to buy 5 million tickets, not a second ticket to double your chances.
You know what? You just flipped it again.
Oh.
You're not understanding this, nor am I. That's why I'm on break.
Oh.
Okay. Well, look at this. Suppose you had a very simple lottery.
Yes.
All you have to do is pick heads or tails.
Yes.
Okay? That's all you have to do. So all you have to do is pick heads or tails. If you buy one ticket and you say heads, you have a 1 out of 2 chance of winning.
Right.
Right? If you pick a second ticket and you tails, you're going to have a 2 out of 2 chance of winning.
So right. You're going to win.
100%.
Right. I agree with that.
So, I mean, you do agree that 2 out of 2 is the same as 1. I mean, you can reduce.
Right.
You are allowed to reduce that fraction.
Right.
So 2 out of 1 million reduces to the same fraction as 1 out of 5 million.
Okay, I'm online trying to find the state that has a lottery where you just have to pick heads or tails. That's the lottery I want to play.
You know, it's funny. There were a bunch of, I think, mathematics grad students at MIT who noticed that there was kind of a flaw in the Massachusetts lottery system. And the way they ran the carryovers, they actually figured out a way to beat the system. Now, the state was still making money,
yeah.
But the way the rollovers were distributed, they were actually able to make money off the lottery until the lottery found out about this and they changed their rules.
Oh, no.
But you know, if you can find yourself some MIT grad students, you know, and go to Massachusetts under the old rules, that's the lottery for
I
you.
I like it. All right.
Professor Bergen, I have to ask you what it feels like to teach a student who just doesn't grasp it, because that is what is happening right now with Bill. You're still shaking your head like you don't believe him.
I must be wording it wrong. I know you know what I'm trying to ask you, though, right?
Am I allowed to plead the Fifth Amendment on the
yes,
radio?
You can. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Or if I do it twice, is that the Tenth Amendment?
All right. See, now I'm so very confused, but that was very funny. But you do double your chances of winning if you buy two different numbers.
Unless you're silly enough to buy the same number both times.
Oh, all right.
Now, can you put this to rest, or are you going to not believe this?
I do believe it, but I don't think I'm getting my point across properly. I understand what you're saying, Jeff, 100%. I really do. But I'm just saying you're only increasing your chances in that lottery by one ticket. You're not doubling your chances specifically. You're only adding a second ticket to all the tickets that are out there. You know what I mean by that, don't you?
But your chances of winning have nothing to do with the other tickets out there. Whether
right.
you split the pot has to do with the other tickets out there.
All right.
Okay. Can I give you one more example?
Yes.
Okay. You're going to roll a die.
Yes.
So that can come up 1 through 6.
Right.
Okay. What number do you like? You're going to predict it.
4.
Pick it. 4. Okay.
4.
If you pick 4, what are your chances of winning?
1 out of 6.
Now, pick 2 numbers.
4 and 5.
If you pick 4 and 5, what's your chance of winning?
1 and 3.
Okay.
Which is 2 out of 6.
Which
yeah.
is 2 out of 6.
Yeah.
But in other words, your first ticket was a 4. And your second ticket was a 5. By
right.
buying a second ticket, you doubled your 1 out of 6 to become 2 out of 6. Same thing with doubling 1 over 1 million rather
but in all these examples, we're using
over 10 million.
But in these examples, we're using small numbers. We're using 1 out of 2 for a coin or 1 out of 6 for a dice. If the number is so great, like a lottery ticket, we said 10 million as a hypothetical, it really doesn't have that big of an impact. Picking 2 tickets to make an impact, you'd have to buy half the tickets.
Okay, I'm going to say something nice. I'm going to kill my reputation.
Go on.
What you mean to say,
yes,
is if you have something which is infinitesimally small,
yes,
without us giving a formal definition of infinitesimal, but if you have something which is infinitesimally small and you double it, it's still incredibly small.
Right.
Except it's twice as big. So if your point of saying is, if you have a 1 in 10 million chance, you have almost no chance of winning.
Right.
If you have a 2 in 10 million chance, you still almost have no chance of winning. That's a true statement.
But you still have doubled your...
chances are still twice as good.
Yeah.
Right. That's the part I'm saying wrong. Is I get the part you've doubled it, but I'm still saying you haven't made an impact because the number is so great.
You're arguing with a math professor.
Okay,
seriously?
I'm going to get my red pen out here, and I'm going to give you some partial credit for that.
All right, thank you. That's all I want.
Okay.
So have you agreed to disagree, or Bill's sort of right, not wording it correctly?
I think I know for a fact Professor Bergen is right. I'm just saying when your number is that huge, buying a second ticket isn't really increasing your chances enough to make a difference.
Okay.
Unless
so Wendy, since Bill's not listening, when I'm giving him partial credit now,
give it all to me.
I will take
10
it.
Million. So how's that?
All right. Perfect.
I'll take it.
Okay. So.
Jeff, thank you. We appreciate this.
You'll never be on with us again.
No.
Although, can I just tell you next year when we talk to you again about the March Madness, because it seems like that's the busiest week of your year, Bill's going to bring this up again. I guarantee you this.
I'm calling you at home, Jeff.
What are the chances?
The odds are pretty good.
Being that you just did, I guess it wouldn't surprise me.
All right, I'll talk to you during the game. I'll call you during the game.
It is a pleasure talking to you.
Here's what you should do. You know when you call me? When the DePaul men are playing. How's that?
All right, that's fair. That'll be soon.
Although, you know what? You can call when the DePaul women are playing, because that is going to happen very soon.
I hope it does.
He's DePaul math professor Jeff Bergen. It was highly enjoyable for me, not probably so much for you, Jeff.
It was for me.
Because you think you're right.
You're going for punishment, aren't you?
Jeff, thank you. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Right. Thanks very much.
That's
we appreciate it, Professor Bergen.
I got partial credit.
He's awesome.
Yeah, I think so.
He gave you partial credit to be nice.
I'm used to that.
All right, we have to take a quick break. And then Kim Gordon is here. We're going to do some news, and then we'll talk about odds, and we'll roll dice. Well, let's play Yahtzee for the second half of the show.
All Yahtzee, second half, Bill and Wendy, WGN.